Being a Jewish pilot, do people know that you're Jewish? Do they not know that you're Jewish? How does it work? Do you experience any good moments?
I think some of the crew do know that I'm Jewish. Some are curious as to what that means. For example, if we're doing the Tel Aviv flights, my airline has stopped them at the moment. It's starting again next summer, hopefully. But when we used to go there during the briefing phase of the day out with the crew that you've just met that morning, I'd say that, you know, if you have passengers who need help or whatever, any issues, that I do speak a bit of Hebrew. It's a little bit rusty at the moment, admittedly, but and then that would obviously lead into the conversation as to why that's the case. Uh-huh. And yeah, those sort of flights are always quite special because it's combining, I suppose, the somewhat less Jewish side of my professional life, as you sort of imply, there aren't many Jewish pilots about outside of El Al. And then when we fly to Ben Gurion, obviously everyone there is Jewish, and that speaking on the radio with an Israeli accent, and when I'm on the ground there, I can speak to the guy who drives the fuel truck or the baggage handlers in Hebrew, and they're always quite surprised. Brilliant. And that's always a special moment.
Yeah.
The passengers as well, of course, when I make my little announcement in Hebrew explaining where we are and how long till landing.
Of course, one family, it's one family. You know, you feel at home. That's fantastic. But there's never been any like tough moments for you where you've experienced any anti-Semitism?
No, not as yet. I mean, obviously, given the past couple of years, it hasn't been easy. Luckily, I think with this job, most people leave their politics and whatnot at home. So whatever your personal opinions might be, it's very much the sense that when you turn up for the briefing on the aircraft, you're just discussing operational matters and you mm-hmm. carry that with you throughout the day. Because you do need to be focused on the needs of the passengers and, you know, the state of the aircraft and various other things that are not related to what's going on outside.
Today's guest is none other than a captain on EasyJet, a pilot that flies potentially me and you on a daily basis. We'd like to welcome Mark Tomlinson. Welcome to Lessons for Life.
Thank you for having me, Rabbi Twill.
It's really an honour. And when we first met and I asked you, like, what do you do? And you told me pilot, I was like stunned. Take me through a little bit about how is it, why is it that you became a pilot?
I mean, it's something of a childhood dream, really. It sounds like a cliche, but I grew up in Manchester, only about 10 minutes from the airport, planes flying overhead. And then my dad used to take me to the viewing park just next to the runway. We used to watch the planes. And then from there, I guess that's where my interest was sparked. And I'd make those little plastic model kits as a kid, that kind of thing. And I remember for A-levels, my parents bought me a trial lesson in one of those small propeller planes. And that just sort of confirmed what I'd felt for years, that if I could, I'd like to make flying my career. And thank goodness, Baruch Hashem, that's what's happened.
Wow, and to be a Jewish pilot as well in Europe. How is the trajectory to getting to become a pilot?
Well, you apply to various flight schools, and most of them are what we call ab initio courses, so they're for people with really zero flying experience. And the structure is the first 6 months is what we call ground school, so you're just in the classroom 5 days a week studying for the 14 technical and theoretical exams.
Wow.
Which can be a little bit tough. And where I studied down at an airport near Oxford, it was on the actual grounds of the airport, so at least you could hear the planes buzzing around outside and you had an idea of where things were leading ultimately.
Mm-hmm.
After you hopefully pass all those exams, then you start on those small propeller planes that I had a trial lesson in a few years prior, buzzing around in those for a few months.
How small is that, the small
sort of four-seater Cessnas?
Those are the ones that shake?
Yeah, essentially. You see quite a few of them not far from here at Elstree Aerodrome during the summer months, buzzing around. And then from there, you fly twin-engine planes, again with propellers, and then ultimately onto the jet simulator, which is a very faithful recreation of modern-day aircraft. And provided that all goes to plan, you pass all the tests, then they move you onto the actual Airbus, which is what I've been flying since 2017.
And how complicated is it with, you know, when you get into the aeroplane, you see the captain there and the 20, how many switches are there? Do you even know?
I mean, this is one of those pub quiz questions, there's over 400. Not that we use all of them all the
time on any given day.
Yeah, yeah. Right. It's sort of typical that it looks overwhelming to the uninitiated, but, you know, we spend every office day sitting there and just become second nature.
Mm-hmm.
And it's very much a team game. That's why there's two of us, you know, the captain, the first officer, and we work together.
How does it work when you first fly off, the captain's in charge of the, how does it work?
That's a bit of a sort of myth in the industry, really, or rather for the general flying public. They think that the co-pilot, as people say, is really first officer, doesn't do any of the flying, when actually it's 50% of the flying. Wow. So on any given day, provided the weather conditions and that sort of thing are okay,
mm-hmm.
then, for example, the captain might fly the aircraft down to Madrid and the first officer will do the radios and the work on the computers, and then you'll simply switch around in Madrid and the first officer will fly it and land it back into your base, mm-hmm. which in my case is Luton, for example.
There's no, like, given. You decide on the day.
Basically. Exactly. Yeah. There are some airports in my airline where it's captains only, takeoff, landing, that sort of thing, or if mm-hmm. the weather is expected to be very rough, then it'll be the captain, who is by nature the most experienced person on the flight deck. They'll be at the control for the landing. But otherwise, if it's night, it's a blue sky day over the summer, then it doesn't matter who flies which sector.
And do you normally come across the same second officer?
That's a good question. It depends massively on the size of the base. So I'm based at Luton, which has around 400 pilots, so there's quite a lot of us. Whereas previously when I started, I was up in Edinburgh, which was much smaller, and then after, say, 4 of my 5 months, you would start to fly with the same people. The biggest base at my airline is Gatwick, and there you might not see the same person for 2-3 years at a time.
Oh, wow.
So it varies incredibly across the network.
Wow. And have you ever been on a flight where there's been a lot of turbulence or...
Yeah, we've had it a few times.
Difficult moments?
Yeah, I mean, we try and avoid the worst of the lumps and bumps. We do have a few resources to help us with that in terms of the weather radar system on the aircraft that can look ahead in terms of our flight path and see where the worst of the turbulence and the... sort of more storm cloudy kind of weather is. We speak to our traffic control, hear reports from other pilots. But at the end of the day, even though that's one of the top things that crops up amongst people who are scared of flying, there's really nothing to be fearful of per se. Again, if we have to go through some of these less comfortable areas of weather, it's not the end of the world. You'll get shaken around a bit. The coffee might end up on the floor. People are scared about the wings falling off and that sort of thing. I mean, the aircraft are built so strongly. I have a lot of respect for the engineers.
It's unbelievable.
People who actually construct these flying machines that it takes an awful lot of force from Mother Nature to cause any sort of issues with the actual aircraft.
You ever been like in the path of a storm or
yeah, once or twice, like, I've been hit by lightning as well.
You've been hit by lightning.
Yes.
The plane was, and what happened? Just shook.
Well, essentially, it's a very loud, impressive bang.
It didn't cut off all the electricity.
No, because again, it's designed with that in mind. So it hit pretty much the distance that we're sitting together now, so just around a meter away.
Wow.
And an almighty flash and bang, and apparently a blue flash goes through the cabin, but of course I couldn't see that.
Uh-huh.
You make an announcement to the passengers, explain what's happened, and then we were on the ground for a little bit of time because the engineers have to come and sort of go through their checks and protocols and sign it off to fly back to base, and it was all fine. But initially, it's quite an impression.
And have you ever, like, flown where there's been an emergency actually on the flight where somebody's not been well?
I've had a medical issue or medical diversion. That was only a few weeks ago, actually, yes.
To a different place?
Yeah.
Wow.
Well, on those stories where the cabin crew make the call for any medical professionals on board. And hopefully, you know, if it's a flight to Tel Aviv, you normally haven't got anything to worry about. But other flights, you never know. In this case, luckily, two doctors came forward and they managed to stabilise the patient, get them on oxygen.
Fantastic. And what's your favourite route?
It's a good question. It depends. If you feel like a short day, then Amsterdam is great because it's only 40 minutes across the water, as you probably know. Otherwise, in terms of views... Geneva with the Alps is very nice. Naples with Vesuvius as you make the approach over the water, that's beautiful. But there are quite a few options out there.
When you get the best view, right? We're sitting on the side and we'll have to look through the window on the side and the round thing, but you get a proper view. It must be amazing.
Yeah, it's definitely one of the plus points of the job. But then don't forget, you know, for example, on early shifts, we're getting out of bed at 3:30, 4 a.m., 4 or 5 days on, you know, in a row. So that's some sort of recompense, I suppose, that we get to see. You know, daybreak and that sort of thing for our much
amazing.
Bigger windows.
I get to daven, I get to pray on daybreak, you know.
Yeah.
I'm putting on my tefillin over there. And it's an interesting experience, depends on where you are and who's around. But it's beautiful when you get to see, we say the pasuk, Marabu Masecha Hashem, how beautiful are your wonders of God Almighty. Whenever I get to the top of the Alps, we go on a Tal trip, let's say a skiing trip, and we get there and you see, it's amazing. You see the views and the valleys and God's created is fantastic, and you get to see it on a daily basis. So that's definitely one of the perks of being.
No, I'm very lucky.
Being a Jewish pilot. Do people know that you're Jewish? Do they not know that you're Jewish? How does it work? Have you experienced any good moments? Let's put it like this: good moments, positivity.
Yeah, I think some of the crew do know that I'm Jewish. Some are curious as to what that means.
How do they know?
Occasionally I mention it, for example, if we're doing the Tel Aviv flights. My airline has stopped them at the moment. It's starting again next summer, hopefully.
Oh, wow.
But
stopped for a long time.
Yeah, it's a shame, and people keep asking me.
Was there?
I know, I don't work in the commercial flight plan department, so it's out of my remit, unfortunately. But when we used to go there, and hopefully again soon, during the briefing phase of the day out with the crew that you've just met that morning, I'd say that, you know, if you have passengers and need help or to have any issues, that I do speak a bit of Hebrew. It's a little bit rusty at the moment, admittedly, and then that would obviously lean on the conversation as to why that's the case.
Uh-huh.
And yeah, those sort of flights are always quite special because it's combining, I suppose, the somewhat less Jewish side of my professional life. As you sort of imply, there aren't many Jewish pilots about outside of El Al. And then when we fly to Ben Gurion, you know, obviously everyone there is Jewish, and that speaking on the radio with an Israeli accent, and when I'm on the ground there, I can speak to the guy who drives the fuel truck or the baggage handlers in Hebrew, and they're always quite surprised. Brilliant. And that's always a special moment.
Yeah.
The passengers as well, of course, when I make my little announcement in Hebrew explaining where we are and how long till landing, when inevitably I come out for a little leg stretch during the flight, they approach me, we have a little mm-hmm. chit-chat, and it's quite, you know, it's a nice feeling.
Of course, one family, it's yeah, one family. Yeah. You know, you feel at home. That's fantastic. And but there's never been any like tough moments for you where you've experienced any anti-Semitism?
No, not as yet. I mean, obviously, given the past couple of years, it hasn't been easy. Luckily, I think with this job, most people leave their politics and whatnot at home. So whatever your personal opinions might be, there's very much the sense that when you turn up for the briefing on the aircraft, you're just discussing operational matters and you mm-hmm. carry that with you throughout the day. Because you do need to be focused on the needs of the passengers and, you know, the state of the aircraft and various other things that are not related to what's going on outside. I think maybe other colleagues in other companies or other countries haven't been so lucky. Of course, we've all seen various stories recently, but fortunately, that hasn't been my experience thus mm-hmm. far.
And when you're coming on the aeroplane, you're flying, you've achieved what you always dreamt of, to become a pilot. What kind of a lesson can you share with our viewers? A lesson for life when you're younger, when you're looking for what to do, you know, out there, given your experience?
It's a good question. Before I started flying, I very briefly had a graduate job out of university in London. That was a pretty good job. I can't really slate the company, but I think it took that sort of experience to push me to, again, sort of chase the dream, which is a bit of a cliche. But if I just stuck with that job, which, you know, the hours were fine, the money was good, nice colleagues, I never would have ended up here. And so even now, 8 years later, since my first flight as a newly qualified pilot, I still think on most days, like, this is incredible, and I almost pinch myself that it's actually become a reality. And so definitely at least give, if you do have a dream, at least give it a shot once mm-hmm. or twice if you can. And a lot of the people that I fly with, other pilots, they've often had previous careers just like me. So we sort of bond over that fact that we did give it a shot in the end, and luckily it all worked out.
You know what I find fascinating? I'll tell you what my take when it comes to pilots is, once somebody was like telling me about belief in God and etc., and we're having a nice conversation, and I asked him if he's been on a flight recently. He said, of course I've been on a flight recently. You know, Jews, they like to fly around. We can't sit still. So I said, okay, and how was it? So it was fantastic. I said, what's the name of the pilot? I was like, I don't know what's the name of the pilot. I said, you don't know what's the name of the pilot? You gave your life into his hands for 3 hours, it's a 3 hour flight, and you don't even know his name. Do you know if he really passed his aviation test? Do you understand who the guy is? Who you're giving your... Same thing with us, right? We live a life, right? We're on our daily routine, and we give our life over to the bus driver, to the taxi driver, to the pilot, to the this, but we're frightened sometimes to actually acknowledge God Almighty and to say, wow, Borei Olam, you're the one that's taking charge. And sometimes we question, and this, where is it? But we never question the pilot. We never question the taxi driver. Did you pass your test? Do you know where you're going? Do you understand? Yeah. So this is kind of a take in life. It's interesting. I don't know if they come up to you on a constant basis. I know when I come out of the plane, I always try and say thank you to all the stewardesses, whoever I'm walking past on the way. It's very, very important to be appreciative. You know, we're paying money, but at the end of the day, there's a service being done and people are taking care of our lives and they're taking us from A to B. So it's very, very important to be appreciative. And in fact, you know, of the Ten Commandments, the first five are between man and God and the next five are between man and man. But there is a commandment to honor our parents. And honor our parents is number five. It's a bridge. It's in between. And so the rabbis say, well, why is it on this side between man and God? It should be on the side of between man and man. So it should be really 6-4. And the answer is because when we're honoring our parents, if a person learns to honor their parents, then they'll learn to appreciate the parents and they'll learn to appreciate where they come from and they'll learn to appreciate God. And I think that's a beautiful ad take also, to appreciate the people who we give, you know, our benefit. Like we give our lives, we just sit down and we just get taken from A to B. So, we appreciate it. And I don't know if you've had any kind of appreciation or people come back to you with some flowers. I don't know, they can't really contact you or whatever, but has there ever been any nice
I think particularly on challenging days with delays and bad weather, you know, the passengers do appreciate when you actually get them to where they wanted to go, because ultimately that's not a given. We take for granted, like you say, that everything's going to go to plan, and sometimes you can't land due to high winds or whatever it might be. On occasion, I do get nice notes from kids with a little picture of a cartoon plane and thank you, Mr. Pilot, and this sort of thing, which is particularly nice for me because I was that kid, 25 years ago or something, 30 years ago. So it feels like it's come full circle. And definitely in those moments, if we've got time, I try and get the children into the cockpit. We sit them down, show them the lights, the switches, the buttons. Because again, that takes me back to, you know, when I was a child and I know how much that meant to me.
Amazing.
So it's one way to sort of give back to
amazing.
The public.
And now, where forward? Tell us, what's the plan? Continue, obviously, flying the planes. Do you have any plans that you... Obviously, you're content in where you are now, but is there anything else that you want to add?
Yeah, it's a good question. I do really love the job. I think I'd happily continue in this sort of vein, maybe living abroad. At the moment, it's a little bit difficult in terms of not having the passport and visa and the sort of paperwork you need. But hopefully, you know, that gets sorted out and maybe I can continue doing this dream job, but potentially somewhere a little bit sunnier. Yeah. Other than that,
where's your ideal?
Spain would be nice, or somewhere in
Marbella,
France.
Yeah,
we'll see. I don't
Malaga.
Know. Yeah, I'm not talking about Benidorm or anything like that. I mean, real Spain. But I know here you have quite a few Spanish folk who move to London.
Correct.
Very nice.
We're getting you ready.
Yeah, that's right.
That's what we bring them.
Exactly. But we'll see what happens. At the moment, I'm very fortunate and content with the way things are going.
Amazing. Great. So we're very honoured. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you
for
your time.
It's been a very, very unique experience to understand what's going on in the aviation and what's happening in the world as a Jewish pilot. And we wish you a lot of success. Bracha v'atzlacha. Amen.
Thank you very much, Roberto.